Hello and welcome to God's Word is Truth, the radio ministry of Providence Reformed Church, Vermilion, South Dakota. We live in a day when many church members don't hunger for the faithful preaching of God's Word, a day when many who call themselves Christians would rather be entertained on Sunday morning than hear the faithful preaching of God's Word. The truth really doesn't matter to many people today. Many church members ask, how does it make me feel or does it work? But seldom do they ask if it's biblical. That's why there's so much distortion and worship, doctrine, and living in the Christian church today. What about you? Do you hunger for God's Word? Do you realize how important preaching the truth of God's Word is in the life of the church? It's the gospel message that the Spirit of God uses to convert the souls of sinners and translate them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God. Only the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation for all who believe. Do you believe the gospel? Listen for the next 15 minutes to God's Word is Truth and hear what God says to us from His infallible and errant inspired Word. At the end of today's program, information about God's Word is Truth will be made available. Well, good morning and welcome to God's Word is Truth, a radio program of Providence Reformed Church in Vermilion, South Dakota. And as we have been going through the Heidelberg Catechism, we are on just finishing up number 4 on what God requires of us in the law. And we had been talking about how God requires of us that we loved Him with all of our being, with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. As Jesus said, this is the first and the great commandment. And the second is like unto it. What is the second one that Jesus speaks about here?
To love your neighbor.
As?
As yourself.
And do you do that?
No.
Is there a beginning of that?
There is a beginning of that, yes.
And how? What's the distinction between you loving your neighbor and the unbeliever who is also your neighbor loving you? Does he love you?
Does my unbelieving neighbor love me? When it's convenient for him, sure.
Can he love you as you love him?
No.
And why is that?
Because the second, loving your neighbor, sits under the commandment to love God. And so we love our neighbor as a believer to the glory of God and because we love God. The unbelieving neighbor is not doing it for that reason. It's not underneath that commandment.
Yeah, he doesn't have the love of God shed abroad in his heart, does he? By the working of the Holy Spirit, and when John speaks about that, you know, there are a lot of people say they love God, and they hate their brother. Now, speaking about a brother, this is going further than a neighbor. A brother is one who is united to Jesus Christ. That's one who has the like common faith that the Holy Spirit has created, and we are then worshipers of the true and living God. And John says that's an impossibility, that cannot happen. How is it that you say you love God whom you can't see and you hate your brother whom you do see? He said that's an impossibility. If you've been born of the Spirit of God, you have a love for God, and that extends or flows then forward to your brother and to your neighbor. You begin loving your neighbor as yourself. You think about that for a minute. How are you to love your neighbor as yourself? You think of all the things that we do for ourselves and how we treat ourselves and what we would do for ourselves. And really, as Jesus said, the golden rule, as you hear it, is to do unto others as you would have others do unto you. So, how would you have people to treat you? Kindly?
Of course.
Lovingly? Mercifully? Mm-hmm. You know, you want people to be merciful to you. Well, then, how should you be towards them? As you would have men do unto you, do also likewise to them. I mean, just think about that, if we would meditate upon that. So it really doesn't matter how people treat me, does it? But we live in a society that... Don't get mad.
Get even.
You guys know that too, huh?
Yeah.
That's not in your bumper sticker out here. Yeah, and so don't get mad. Get even. Get even with the guy. And, you know, the scripture says, the vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. We're not to be that. It's quite the contrary. What happens if somebody reviles me for Christ's namesake? How might I respond?
to rejoice.
To rejoice. Well, Jesus says even further than that. He says, leap for joy. You know, have you seen people run around leaping in the church because they were persecuted? No, there's too much of the influence that takes place in the world, and we become inculcated with that ungodly influence, and we are, you see, if you're not being transformed continually, it's a present tense in the Greek text, which means a continual action in the life. We are continually being transformed by the Word of God. The Spirit of God is working in us, and He's transforming our minds. And if we're not being transformed by the renewing of our mind, then we are being conformed to the ways of the world. There's only two places that you can be. You are either spiritually being transformed by the Word, and you're thinking God's thoughts after Him. So you're responding, not by kicking back at your neighbor, but walking away, as Jesus said, turning the other cheek. This doesn't mean pacifism, but simply in the one-on-one correspondence with people on a daily basis. You know, people are rude, people are snappy, people get irritated very quickly. Sometimes you wonder, you know, you go into Walmart and we're an inconvenience to the workers, and yet if we're not there, they're not working, right? Because they have no job. And yet, you know, it always amazes me is some of the people that are working in public relations. You know, they're working with people on a daily basis, and you know, as soon as they open their mouth, that they don't have the personality to be working with the public like this. Now, I've seen many of people that are, wow, you know, you're right where you need to be. This is definitely your calling, is to work with people. But for the Christian, it's the way we respond. Too often, it's the way we respond is how we're responding to. But the standard of our response is not the world. The standard of our response is not the way that we're treated by people in the world. The standard of our response is the Word of God. And so we are to respond as God says in His Word, not as a reaction, our sinful reaction or responses to how people treat us. Now, that's a difficulty. That's a struggle in the Christian life. And I think it's a struggle because we are not getting the Word of God rooted down into our souls as we ought to be. So, you know, as I'd ask you about loving God with all your being and loving your neighbor as yourself, and you have responded, and I would respond likewise. You know, I have not done that either, and Dan has not done that. No Christian has. Christ alone has done that. And the two commandments hang, these two commandments, the first and great commandment, the second one also, they hang on all the law and the prophets. These two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. They're all fulfilled in this. And you can see that they're fulfilled in Jesus Christ. He is the embodiment of this. He is incarnate love. He is the incarnate perfection of the law of God. He is the Word of God. He is the fulfillment of all of these things. And the only reason that the believer, who is no better than the unbeliever, but the only reason that the believer is not condemned is because Christ was condemned in our place. So, you who are professing to be a Christian and are listening to this, I want you to think about something for a moment. When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he was sweating, as it were, great drops of blood, he recognized that he was doing that on your behalf. Because we are those people who profess and confess God and faith in Him and to love Him and to worship Him. And yet, as James says, that we curse man who is made in the similitude of God. These things shouldn't be. And that's why Christ was suffering. If there is any other way, he said, let this cup pass from me. But if not, I'll drink it to the dregs. And so when he hangs on the cross, Jesus said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Recognize, believer, that Christ was forsaken so that you wouldn't be forsaken. even in this present moment, you have not fulfilled the law of God in perfection. Christ has done that, and we stand holy and righteous in Him. We have all that is necessary unto our salvation in Him. But He's done that, and that's why we're not dropped into the pit of hell, because of the way that we've responded to one another, to those whom we call brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ, and how we gossip and murmur and complain and backbite and slander one another. It's abominable. What makes us different than the ways of the world? Why are we acting like these things? It's because we're not being renewed more and more in our mind by the Word of God. And if you're not, as I said, you're going to be conformed to the ways of this world. So, you remember on the Mount of Transfiguration, who appeared there with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration? Matthew 17.
Moses and Elijah.
Moses and Elijah. And what is Moses, what does he represent there?
He represents the law, because that's where we got our Ten Commandments from.
And so Elijah, who is he representing?
The prophets.
And now the voice that comes from heaven, you know, Peter, he's often not knowing what to say. He wants to build three tabernacles, right? And the voice from heaven says what?
This is my son, hear him.
Hear him. So, think about that. Christ has fulfilled the law and the prophets. Now, who do we listen to? You know, Christ is speaking through the prophets. Christ is speaking through the law. He told the Pharisees, you know, you believe Moses. If you believed him, you'd believe me. Why? Because he wrote about me. So, but Christ has fulfilled all of this, and now we hear him. The writer of the Hebrews says that same thing.
No, I was thinking the exact same thing as you were talking.
Yeah, that's, and you find that so clearly there in Hebrews. Christ is the fulfillment. He's the new Moses. He's better than what Moses was. He's the one who's built all things, right? And so this is the Jesus that we trust in, the Son of the Most High, whose Father is in heaven, who has created all things with the Word of the power, who is Jesus Christ. And this is who we worship. And He is the one who has fulfilled all the law and the prophets. And recognizing to the extent that the Catechism requires of us of perfection, we find that in Jesus. We run to Him. We fly to Him. We don't see all things yet put under His feet, but who do we see? We see Jesus. And where do you see Him? You see Him in His Word. And you know Him in His Word. And you come to love Him in a greater measure through His Word. You rejoice in Him through His Word, all by the operation of the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit is going to work in us in conjunction with His Word. If we would just but get that simple principle that the Holy Spirit is the one who is inspired this Word, and He is the one who speaks to us and reveals Jesus to us. Christ speaks through Him in the Word, never apart from it, always in conjunction with it, and therefore there is no new revelation coming. The revelation and all that we need has been given to us in the Scriptures. We have all that is necessary for life and godliness. So, until next week, get in the Word and get the Word of God into you. God's Word is Truth is a listener-supported broadcast, and therefore we count on your financial support to help keep this program on the air. So if you've been edified by what you've just heard, would you please consider faithfully supporting us by your financial gifts? Any amount of support would be greatly appreciated. If you'd like more information about Providence Reformed Church, please visit us on the web at www.providencercos.com. There you'll find our contact information if you'd like to leave us your feedback or donate to our ministry. We'd also like to extend an invitation to all who are listening to this program to come worship with us. We meet every Sunday morning at 8:30 Madison Street, Vermilion, South Dakota. Our Sunday school begins at 9:30 a.m. and our worship service begins at 10:30 a.m. God's Word is Truth is a ministry of Providence Reformed Church, Vermilion, South Dakota, and we thank you for your support and pray that the Lord will richly bless you as you walk by faith in Jesus Christ, for He truly is the only hope of the nations.